We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky coming to you from Northfield, Minnesota.
And this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you from beautiful South St. Louis at Ascension Lutheran Church, where I serve as pastor. And John, I noticed even up north you still wear Hawaiian shirts.
Of course. Well, right now it's still, we are actually having ideal weather. We're talking like 70 degrees at this point.
That sounds good.
By the way, this is Wrestling with the Basics Plus.
That's right. You worked in the plus.
Our old format of only 27 minutes, now you have 28 minutes of Wrestling with the Basics. I don't know what's going on.
Free of charge?
Yeah. Somebody's obviously asleep there at KFUO. I don't know. but since we do have the extra minute, can I share with you an amusing anecdote?
Oh, please do, John. We love amusing anecdotes on Wrestling with the Basics.
We spend a lot of time outside when we're up in Minnesota. That's one reason why we like to be up here, because down where you're at, Matt, let's face it, a lot of summer days you just have to spend inside with the air conditioning, because it's just, 110, things like that. And
The temperature and the humidity is about 110. It's bad. Yeah.
So anyway, I've noticed as we take our walks and as I bike, I think I am a squirrel whisperer, because I've noticed, like, when we come up to squirrels and I will say, "Run, squirrel, run." Well, so maybe I'm more of a squirrel talker, shouter, but whatever, they take off. They do. They'll run up a tree. They run out. And so I was telling Lynn this. I thought, wow, this is cool that I can communicate with squirrels. And she said, "Well, John, have you noticed, John, that even before you say anything, when you come up, the squirrels will run away?" And I thought, wow. So I'm actually can talk to the squirrels telepathically. Isn't that amazing?
that's incredible.
I don't
John.
Even need to talk. I can. And Lynn says to me, yeah, I can see that, John. I can see that, because you would really think that the squirrels would come running towards you when you get close, huh? I said, well, yeah, because they love nuts. This is what I have to put up with. This is what I have to put up with, Matt. Okay, I just need sympathy from you and from our listeners.
I don't know if you're the one that needs sympathy. It sounds like Lynn might need some sympathy. This long-suffering wife of yours.
That's right. She has to put up. You just have to put up with it every other week when we record. She has to put up with it every day.
We should give her some kind of sainthood, John. Can we canonize Lynn, Saint Lynn? And what was the miracle she performed? Well, she put up with John every single day. That had to be miraculous.
22 years now she's done that. Thank you again for sharing us about the armor of God last week, Matt, because I hope people understand that this is not an easy world to live in. I really appreciate what you said about the peace that is to come. But that kind of real, honest, physical, earthly peace, not here. We do have the peace of knowing, like you said, that the victory is ours and what the future holds. But we're obviously struggling in this present world. And God be with everybody right now who knows exactly what I'm talking about, because they have worries about family, jobs. I'm just trying to help people understand, if you've got those things, it doesn't mean God has abandoned you. It just means, as we talked a few weeks ago, we're in the sea right now. This is a dangerous place to be, but we got Jesus with us. We're going to get to the other side. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. And I think the armor of God is proof that God hasn't abandoned us, right? That he gives us this armor. And we talked about last week, again, even at baptism, even an infant equipped, clothed, outfitted with this armor of God, that's proof that, like you said, life is tough, but we're not alone. God's given us what we need.
And thank you, man, because it's as simple as that, isn't it? Life is tough, and yet God has given us what we need to get through. Of course, the summary of all that armor is Jesus Christ himself. I want to kind of change the subject today, though. What's your feeling about tradition? A lot of people have, some people are pro, some people are against tradition. Do you have an opinion about tradition?
Yeah, I always think of Fiddler on the Roof, John. You know, that was at the Muni this summer in tradition, you know, and Tevye singing that. And so that always gets stuck in my head. Tradition, yeah, I think it can be helpful. We certainly, our family has different traditions, and I know that's even encouraged for families to have their own traditions. And so many times those traditions are tied to holidays, tied to kind of those meaningful times of year. For our family. And I think that can be helpful. I guess it's, tradition just for the sake of tradition when we forget why we do what we do. Maybe that's not always very helpful. But I'm not against tradition.
So thank you for reminding me, because this project got pushed off to the side. Wrestling with the Basics, the musical. We got to get back to that, Matt. We were working on that. And then, and certainly one of our songs could be Tradition. All right.
You're the right man to do it, John, with your thespian background, community theater and otherwise. If anyone could pull this off, you could.
I don't know how we forgot about that, because that was a few years ago. We were thinking of doing Wrestling with the Basics.
Maybe that's what we do with that extra musical minute. We start just rehearsing right. A little like here and there.
That's right.
A minute each week is dedicated to the musical.
Broadway. Yes, you know, that's right. We have to do test runs here on the show. So what I would like you to do, I would like you to hear something, what the Bible says about tradition.
Okay, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, maybe. So if you would read chapter 7 of Mark. We're going back to Mark. It is no longer the summer of Mark. We acknowledge that. But
Mark, it's September now, so we're okay. Yeah.
Verses 1, I give you a big chunk. Verses 1 through verse 5.
Now, when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed, or here in South City, as we say, unwashed. I have a hard time reading through this. I have to concentrate. Say wash, no R. Okay. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe. There's that word tradition, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Matt. I one summer when I was a younger fellow, I worked up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and they just made so much fun of me that I washed my clothes and I washed my hands. And yeah, that is definitely a Missouri
Southern
thing. Yeah.
Yep.
So here's the thing. We're going to read more of this, and you're going to find out Jesus is not at all happy with the so-called tradition of the elders that you just mentioned there. And so on the basis of that, they say, no, the Bible clearly teaches that tradition is not a good thing. You kind of hinted at it there, too. We shouldn't just do things because it's tradition. In our Lutheran church, we actually experienced this. Martin Luther had been condemned to death by both the Pope and the Holy Emperor, and he goes into hiding, and he goes into full witness protection mode. He changes his name, and he grows a beard, so you can't recognize him. But at the same time, in Wittenberg, there was a guy named Karlstadt, and he was of the opinion that all tradition is bad. And so not only do we want to get away from Roman Catholic teaching, but we also need to get rid of all Roman Catholic traditions. We can't have anything that reminds us of Catholicism. And so they would actually took the candles out. They took the statues out, not just of Mary, but also of Jesus. And they wouldn't wear the robes anymore, the priest robe. And I just learned last night, so this is fresh off the press, that also that's why Lutherans grew beards, because the priests were all clean shaven. Did you know that?
That was
one reason why, when you see many of our forefathers, they were bearded, because that was not, we didn't want anything to do with what, and of course, this is driving lay people crazy. Can you imagine what your people would do in your church if you came in and said, I'm taking all the candles out. That's all Roman. And so Luther actually has to come out of hiding and set the record straight. No, we're not against tradition. All right. We want to teach mm-hmm. what the Bible teaches, but traditions are okay. In fact, to this day, in my church and the churches I go to, we are still using the same basic liturgy that they had from the Roman Catholic Church. What was that? How many hundreds of years ago? Although it's interesting that the first thing that Luther did is he translated that liturgy into German. You correct me.
The German Mass, but Luther, even his writings, if I remember right, talked about how didn't really want to change it, but just made it accessible so that people could benefit from it and actually understand what's happening in the service.
Yeah. People need to understand.
Yeah.
That was the main thing. It's interesting. You actually touched upon some things that I want to touch upon. As Lutherans, we are concerned about tradition, okay? We don't want to get rid of tradition, but we do have concerns about tradition. And what tickles me is all of the concerns we have comes right out of this text from Mark chapter 7. So can I share with you three concerns that I and you and everyone should have, because they're not our concerns, they're Jesus' concerns about tradition. Is that all right?
Please do, John.
I'm going to ask you to start by jumping down a little bit and read from verse 9 through verse 13. Through 13. And again, these are the three warnings about tradition.
And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do."
So, Matt, what's one big problem about tradition? Doesn't happen for all traditions, but what's the big problem with some traditions, according to Jesus there?
Yeah, so it's their tradition, the tradition of the elders, right? And they follow their tradition to the detriment of God's word.
Okay.
Yeah, especially verse 13, making void the word of God by your tradition.
So if the tradition contradicts the word of God, then it's got to go. There's no argument. There's no debate. And this particular issue, the thing was, is they had something called Corban, which we actually have today. We don't call it Corban. We call it estate planning. Right? In fact, right now, KFUO would like to send a representative to your home. If you're trying to plan what you're going to do when you die, what your estate, we can send a guy. He'll talk to you, and he'll show you how you can fill out the documents and give a healthy portion of your estate to KFUO. So great programs like Wrestling with a... Maybe I shouldn't mention that.
We've got to pay for that extra minute somehow, John.
That's right. it may be free to you, but it's not free.
Wrestling with the Basics Plus is not plus, free.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, that's essentially what it was. So you would dedicate this stuff, but then maybe your parents would be in need, and you'd say, "Well, I'm sorry, Mom, Dad, I can't help you because I already said I was going to give it to God." And mm-hmm. Jesus says, "Well, that's just ridiculous. There's no commandment about estate planning in the Bible, but there is a commandment that you honor and love your mother and father." So that's an issue of where the tradition, which again, that's not a bad thing to have estate planning, right? It's not bad to have Corbin.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Yeah, that's a great tradition, but if it contradicts the word of God, well, so here's a couple of examples that I want to give you from our current time. And I don't want to, I'm not a Baptist basher, okay? Do you have Baptist friends?
Sure. Folks that kind of have that lean. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, okay. Sure in our church, we've got people who come out of Baptist traditions. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, well, I've got some people that are still, being in my community for my whole life, I've got people that I meet at Rotary and other organizations, and they're Baptist, and and I love them. And I would hope that if they were in need, I'd be one of the first people there to help them. I did notice that if you go fishing, you should always bring two Baptists with you, because if you only have one Baptist, he'll drink all your beer. That's an old, terrible joke. Please, my dear Baptist friends, please forgive me. Forgive me for that. That's just an old joke. But anyway, my experience is that they're really good people and they're dedicated Christians and what have you.
Yeah.
But I do have a bone to pick with them, because they have a different tradition. And explain what's their tradition about baptizing, Matt.
Sure.
How they do it.
You bet. So not necessarily the baptism of infants, but later, you know, when a child's older, but then also immersion, you know, to go underwater when someone is baptized completely rather than just a sprinkling of water.
And you know, if that was just their tradition, fine with me. I don't have any problem with that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you want to immerse, you can immerse. You know, as a good Lutheran catechism teacher, that Luther likes that. It's in the catechism. He liked the idea of drowning and rising. So if you want to do that as your tradition, fine. The problem is, of course, they teach that's not a tradition, that's the commandment of God.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, my dear Baptist friends, it is not the commandment of God. The Bible doesn't say we have to immerse. In fact, if you don't mind rereading one of the verses you read earlier, Matt, let's see, verse 4.
Verse 4. The one about the couches.
Yeah, you know where I'm going.
Yeah, you bet. So, and there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches.
All right, so Matt, you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead and explain. What's the deal with that verse? Why does that impact baptism?
So the word wash there, wash, the Greek word is baptizo, right, John?
Yeah.
So which means to baptize, you know, and baptize means to wash. Now, baptizo, the word baptizo means literally just to wash, you know.
Yeah.
So they're washing these dining couches, and I think we can probably safely assume that their ceremonial washing of dining couches did not involve dunking a couch, submerging a couch underwater, but it was just simply probably a sprinkling of the couch. And again, that's the word baptizo, to wash, that's being used there.
Yeah, and I would point out, my copper vessels are so big that I couldn't get them immersed in my sink either. I have to kind of, you know, I've got a little squirter thing that I squirt on them. That's the only way I'm getting them clean.
Yeah.
And it is interesting that I wonder if Mark doesn't purposely use the word baptizo there, because the earlier word that he uses is actually a different word. There's other words in Greek for washing. So I might be reading into that, Mark, if you're listening to us up in heaven. Because we are the most popular Saturday morning Bible study for the saints in heaven.
Saints.
I don't know that for sure.
But I won't argue with it, John.
All right. So there you have it. If you want that as your tradition, we aren't going to complain, but you cannot say that's the commandment of God. And so I like to tease my Baptist friends, and I'll say to them, you know, I'm retired now. I'm thinking about maybe joining the Baptist church, because you guys really have some pretty toe-tapping music. That's what we Lutherans don't have, the kind of enthusiastic music that you have. What do I need to do? And they'll say, well, you'll have to get baptized, you know, you have to get immersed. And I said, so are you saying to me that baptism that I have trusted in from my childhood, that baptism that my parents did in obedience to the word of God, that baptism that, as you talked about, I felt has given me the armor of God, are you telling me I was a fool, that was a lie, and I've been stupid all these years? And they would say to me, well, the stupid part we won't argue with, but yeah, maybe you got a point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they don't want to say that, but I'm sorry, my dear Baptist friends, if what you're saying is true, that this is the commandment and not the tradition, then that's exactly what you're saying about my baptism.
Yeah.
I know you may not want to say that, but so then I ran into something else. We went to a United Church of Christ church a few weeks ago, because they have these wonderful organ recitals here in Northfield, and different churches sponsor them. And so, and again, I'm not bashing UCC people. One of my dearest friends, Matt, is the UC pastor back in New Athens. Just a great guy. But have you ever been to a UCC church service?
I've been to a funeral there, yeah, but okay. I don't know if I've been to an actual Sunday morning UCC service. I'm usually pretty busy on Sunday mornings,
John. Yeah, you're working. You're working. You really need to take a few Sundays off and go see some other churches. while you were there, did you look at their hymn book?
Oh, it's been a few years, John. Boy, I forget what they had.
Well, you know me, I had to check out what the competition was doing. So I pulled out the hymn book and was much surprised to find that it really is basically what you and I do. In fact, this is what really surprised me. They actually start with a confession of sins, which I thought, well, I wouldn't think they'd do that. But you know what they didn't have? There was no absolution. There was absolutely nothing in there that said your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
And again, I thought, well, I guess that's their tradition. And I understand why they do it, because they don't want to be like the Roman church. There's this whole hang up about the priest having some magical power to forgive. And I understand that, which is why when we announce forgiveness, we always say in the name and in the stead and the command of Jesus Christ, so that people know this is Jesus, not me. But it seems to me the Bible's pretty clear that when you preach repentance and confession, there should be forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
That repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. That's what Jesus commands you and me to do. In fact, for all of our listeners, Jesus says that if your brother sins and he repents, you should forgive him, even if he does it seven times a day. So I'm thinking that tradition contradicts what the Word of God asks for. Okay? And again, well, let's bash Lutherans then, as long as we're bashing people. Okay.
Why not, John? Let's. Yeah.
So warning number one.
Tell us how you
is,
really feel, John.
If your tradition contradicts the scriptures, I'm sorry, the tradition has to go. Here's warning number two. If you wouldn't mind reading verse six.
Yeah. Okay. Then he says to them, and this was the Old Testament reading that's usually paired with this gospel reading in worship. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Read verse 7 too, yeah.
Sure. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
So the thing is, and you actually said this already at the beginning of the show, so I won't belabor it. If you've got to do things from your heart, and if all you're doing is doing it with your lips, then it's no good.
Yeah.
And I get concerned about us as Lutherans, even as a pastor sometimes, that, Luther wanted to translate that liturgy into the language of the people, because what good does it do you to be chanting Latin and you don't even know what it means? How can you do it from the heart if you don't understand what you're saying? Although, isn't it cool? We are so in love with tradition. We still have the Latin titles in our hymn book. We translate it to English, but we still keep the Latin titles. That's how much we love tradition.
Tradition.
So anyway, that's the second problem with tradition. You need to do these things with faith. And if you're just saying them to saying them, then they're absolutely worthless. I worry about people who come to church because it's their tradition. Because that is a strong tradition in Lutheranism that you go to church every Sunday.
You bet.
But trust me, if that's the only reason you're going to church is because it's your tradition, I think you're probably missing out on something. Okay? You talked about baptism. You've probably had this happen. Have you had people contact you who you probably haven't seen in church for months, maybe even years, but they had a baby, and what do they want? What do they want, Matt?
Want the baby to be baptized.
Yeah. Now I'm going to put you on the spot here. How do you handle those situations?
Think ideally, it's an opportunity. It's an open door, I think, for conversation now. So maybe it's someone that we haven't seen for a little while. Well, they're reaching out to me, and so let's talk. And ideally, let's talk in person, and let's talk a little bit about baptism and, you know, what that is and the blessing it is, but also an opportunity for me just to minister to that family a little bit that we haven't seen for a while. What I always like to emphasize, John, is in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, but then right away he says, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So, I commend you for wanting your child baptized. Well done, Christian parents, but the teaching needs to accompany that, and that involves coming to worship.
And so that's the perfect response, isn't it, Matt? That is the tradition from the scripture from Jesus, teach baptize and teach. And again, we're so glad that they want to give their child the armor of God.
Definitely.
It always tickles me, though. I think a lot of times the motivation is actually, again, the tradition of the elders.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably grandma that's saying, you better get that baby baptized. But yeah, so we want them because, look, the baptism is going to be what God says it is. But if you don't know that, we don't want it just to be a thing, again, of the lips. We want it to be a thing of the heart. So that little baby, when it grows older, it knows what a great gift it has been given. Mm-hmm. So that's problem number two, then, is no, let's not just do it with our lips. Let our hearts be involved in all of these things that we do. But here's problem number three. If you would go back and read again verse 5, back to the problem that the Pharisees and scribes had with Jesus and his disciples.
All right, verse 5. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?
Now, I wanted to read that one because we hear the word defiled hands, and automatically, what do we think of, Matt? What do we think of when we think defiled hands?
Dirty hands?
Yeah.
Unclean hands?
And of course, I want my hands to be clean when I eat. Boy, we learned that during COVID, didn't we? I even have a thing on my watch that times how long I'm washing my hands.
Nice.
But that's not what it says in the original language. That was not the concern of the tradition of the elders, is that you have cleanliness. The word there actually means that you have common hands, mm-hmm. Koinonia. In other words, you're just doing what everybody else does. What all the other nations do. The other nations, they go and they eat, and they don't worry about any ceremonial washing. They don't worry about sprinkling their couches or ceremonially washing their pots and things. See, no, that's the problem. You've made yourself like everybody else. You're just common. And I think that is a danger when we think it's tradition that makes us special.
Yeah.
That's what makes us holy in the eyes of God, because we've got this tradition. We've got this traditional Lutheran liturgy, and boy, that's what makes us special, because we've got our traditions, and we traditionally baptize infants. And again, that doesn't mean those traditions are bad, but if you think that's what makes God love you, oh man, I feel so sorry for you, because I'm going to tell you right now, there's only one reason why God loves you. And that is for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and died on the cross for you.
Mm-hmm.
What does Paul say? And this God shows his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so this impacts everything that you and I have talked to up to this point. This is why baptism is important. Baptism, which is a commandment of God, is what makes you separate. That's what makes you undefiled. That's what makes you holy in the sight of God. Why? Because that's what he says. He says it washes away your sins. That's right out of the Bible. It's the thing that you and I talk about every week. I don't know if people realize this. This is why you should listen to Wrestling with the Basics. Because if you hear not just what we say with our lips, but if you take it into your heart, we are making people that are holy to God, are we not? Because we're telling them that they are forgiven in Jesus Christ. And it's time for us to shut up. We couldn't even get it done with the extra minute. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.